Did you ever wonder why some of the most, worst fights that you ever have are with people that you love the most? I mean, what causes these heated conflicts and hurt feelings and painful words that really divide? Chances are, the reasons for our disputes are different than you might think. Stay with us as we consider not only why we fight, but how to diffuse that conflict.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is a daily discipleship outreach featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy. Unless you're a recluse, you're familiar with the problems and pain of difficult relationships. But it's the why behind those problems that often leaves us stumped. In this program, Chip continues his series, Relationships Under Pressure, by taking a look at the root cause of most of those difficulties and what we can do to turn them around. After the teaching, Chip will be with us to talk more about four specific steps to help us get there. So be sure to stay with us for that. Now let's join him for part two of his message, Why We Fight With Those We Love, from James chapter 4.
Let's go back and play out what the lie is then. He says we believe the lie. The lie basically is hedonism. And hedonism is a worldview that promises that I will be fulfilled by pleasure. How I feel is the value of what's right and what's wrong. I know I'm married. I know I'm supposed to do this, but I don't feel loved anymore, therefore. I know it's wrong, and I know God says only to put pure things in my mind, but when I log on to the internet and I see all those naked pictures, it makes me feel alive. I know we don't have the money. I know I shouldn't spend it, but when I go through and I buy 1, 2, 3, 4 more pairs of shoes and 2 more dresses and I come home, I get a little rush and I feel alive and good again until the MasterCard bill comes and we have yet another fight in our home with my husband. See, the lie is fulfilling your sensual pleasure will deliver significance, security, joy, and fulfillment. That's hedonism. And we have 3 prominent passions in hedonism. Number 1 is the desire to have possessions. Number 2 is the desire to feel pleasure. And number 3 is the desire to be power. Possessions, pleasure, and power. And that's why all the marriage experts say, what do couples argue about? Money, sex, kids, and in-laws. Did I miss anybody here? And if you think through those 4 things, what you find is in your heart, you have selfish gratification about how we should spend our money. And you know, she thinks you need to remodel the kitchen and those new ping golf clubs are not that much. Or, you know, you could join the country club or get a new motor for the boat. You know, she thinks, he thinks, she thinks, he thinks, kids think. And it plays out. We buy the lie that sensual pleasure will meet my inner longings for fulfillment. And that lie leads us to betray a trust. And we become spiritual adulteresses. I don't know anything that is happening in our day that breaks God's heart more than a church that has fallen in love with the world. And we are living in this day. I don't cry over a whole lot of stuff, but I cry over this. I am so, so deeply disturbed. And this is the reason why the divorce rate among Christians is the same or worse than the divorce rate among unbelievers. You see, we've bought the same line. We watch the same shows. We put the same garbage into our mind. And we're expecting different results. We have a church that has embraced the world to such a degree. I don't think we're in the salt and light business anymore where we're impacting the world culture. I think it appears that we're in the kind of trying to hold off a bit of the darkness and it transforming the church. And it's not doom and gloom, but I would suggest that maybe some of our most difficult problems that we're facing individually and in the church today is that we believed a lie, we've betrayed a trust, and that we are like a wayward wife to our husband, who is the bridegroom Jesus. And so we have become an enemy when we buy that lie. And notice what it says. He yearns jealously for the spirit he made, but he gives more grace. Well, how does he give more grace? It says here, we make ourselves an enemy, so he gives more grace. How does he give more grace? He's opposed to the proud. What did he say in the beginning was the core of interpersonal problems? Pride, selfishness. What's God opposed to? It means he's against. It doesn't mean he tolerates it. It doesn't mean that he winks at it. It doesn't mean that, well, you know, I'm not really happy with this and I wish you could kind of clean it up. It means he's against it. When he's against it, that means he brings consequences, not because he's down on you, because he loves you. When you mismanage your money, you mismanage your time, you mismanage your priorities, when you put stuff in your mind that will pollute your mind, when you think that vicarious gratification by reading, you know, romance novels or checking onto pornography is going to meet the deepest needs, God, out of his great love, is going to go, okay, you know, we'll work on their health. See if they get, no, that didn't. Okay, we can shut down that business. We'll have one of their kids go through cancer, maybe. He'll do whatever it takes, people, because he loves you. And we're going to be a pure bride. We're going to be a pure bride one way or another because his reputation is at stake. His reputation. This is not about you and your life and what people, it is about his reputation. Jesus said, they will know that the Father sent me because what? How you love one another. This is how my Father is exclaimed or exalted. The word is glorified, where his reputation gets great. When you bear much fruit. What's fruit? What's fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. It's being like Christ. Bear much fruit. It's not only exhibiting from the inside out the very character and the nature of Christ, but it's also bearing much fruit in terms of fulfilling God's agenda. Reaching out to others, lost people coming to Christ through your life, found people growing to maturity through your life, mature people reproducing their life, developing leaders, your life. That's the agenda. The agenda is not, how can I be happy? How can I be fulfilled? I don't care what Maslow says. It's not about self-actualization. I don't think the average born-again, genuine believer in Jesus Christ in America is waking up every one day saying, you know, I know I really love God, but I think I'm going to embrace the world. I think I'm going to try and live just like they are because I want all the negative consequences and I want to be a terrible witness. And, you know, my marriage, you know, who wants it to last more than 8 or 10 years anyway? And, you know, the conflict with kids and alimony, it's really kind of fun. And, you know, all these sexual addictions and food addictions, bulimia. These counselors need money, so if I... No one does that. But that's where we're landing, people. So what's the solution? He gives us the solution where he gives us a prescription. And we're going to get the prescription in verses 7 through 10. It is very direct. God's prescription is humble yourself and God will heal your relationships. Humble yourself and God will heal your relationships. Write those two words. Humble yourself and God will. He'll restore. And as you study those things, what you see is it is developed in four clear steps toward humility or to diffuse conflict. Number one, give in to God. Write that in the line above there. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. The word submit here is in a tense of the verb that has a sense of urgency. It's a compound word, hupo, to be under, and tasso, to be under the rank. It's like falling into line or rank in the military. It's to take God as your commander, as your captain. It's a picture of a group of military people all walking like this. What he's saying is, you're out of step with the Spirit. Well, how do you get in step with the Spirit? Very, very clearly, it is obey the known will of God revealed in Scripture. Give in to God. Voluntarily, from the heart, that's the idea. You might write just one word after that, give in to God, put an arrow, and write the word surrender, and put a box around it. It's really what it is. Surrender. Submit your will. Submit your future. Submit your relationships. Submit your agenda. Submit your desires. And you say, God, here's what I'm going to do. I have unconsciously, I didn't mean to, I didn't realize it. You brought me to this place at this time to help reveal it. The light bulbs are going off in my mind. My spirit is so convicted. I want you to know right now, I surrender. I submit to you. I want you to know that as I begin to think about your word, and I know it's going to be a journey, but I'm going to submit my finances to you. I'm going to submit my schedule to you. I'm going to submit my relationships, my job, my ministry. I submit to you. You are the general. You're the commanding officer. You're the king. You're the CEO, and I'm coming for orders. You tell me what to do. That's what I want to do. That's the first step in humbling yourself. It's obeying what you know. The second step is get tough with Satan. Notice the word resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist has the prefix anti. It means to be against him and to take a stand. It's to take a stand against the enemy. There is no middle ground. You can't play with him. And the word devil, I mean, who is this? He's the slanderer, the liar, the deceiver. He's the seducer. You know, it's different strokes for different folks. It's the lust of the flesh for some. For others, it's that magazine you look at and you see all those beautiful houses and all that beautiful furniture and all this, or that dream vacation. You can go to Scotland, do this, and you go to this, go to this, go to this. And it always goes from one thing to another. Yet, who's behind that? Who's selling you the bill of goods if you had, if you could, if you possessed, if you look like that? If you just had enough money to have some of those surgeries like they have on TV, then you could walk down the staircase. And all your friends would go, ah, who is that? That's a woman or a man who they've shaved off 35 pounds with surgery, another 20 pounds with exercise, and they have poked, jabbed, pushed, and under special lighting for one moment. Woo. And here's my theory. Visit that woman or that man in 3 years, and they'll look exactly like they did 3 years before. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Get tough with Satan, put an arrow and write the word fight and put a box around it. You gotta fight. You gotta fight. Ephesians 6 tells us how to put on the full armor of God. Look, this is a promise. If you resist, he'll flee. But you gotta get angry with it. You gotta say, I don't wanna be that. I don't wanna think of that. You gotta say, no more internet for me. I'm not gonna watch that stuff. You have to cut off the supply lines. You gotta fight. You gotta say there's a world system. It is purposely seeking to seduce me. And you gotta put up the guard and the armor. And you gotta say to yourself, you know what? I can't let that in our home. I've got a good friend that had a pornography problem. He just doesn't have the internet. He just doesn't have it. You say, well, that's drastic. Yeah, it's drastic. He's just kind of saving his marriage, saving his life, walking with God, changing his life. He just happens to know he's weak. Where are you weak? Where are you weak? In the area of media, I would dare you to do something. You probably won't do this, but I'll dare you anyway. Double, double dare. I dare you to go on a media fast for 10 days. No TV and no videos, no DVDs, not even the news. 10 days. First 2 days, you want to kill each other because you'll be so irritable. And then you'll recognize we actually spend hours that we didn't know in front of this thing. Then pretty soon you'll start getting creative and you'll have all kind of time and start doing some things you always wanted to do. About day number 6 through 8, you'll start actually having some fun. Day number 9, you won't miss it very much. Day number 10 or 11, you'll realize, oh, hey, and you'll start watching something and you'll watch a commercial and you go, oh, man, that is gross. Because what'll happen is you won't be dumbed down. Your spiritual sensitivities will come back alive. And you'll realize, man, there's a hook in that commercial. And did you notice how the camera panned and went to that guy's body part or that woman's body part? Did you see? And all of a sudden, all those subliminal messages, your spirit will pick them up. And you'll fight. And you'll say, man, I'm not buying that stuff. But I tell you what, the passive, I want to try harder, be a better person someday, some way, will not make it. Third, he says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Right in there, get close to God. Return to God. What he wants you to know, he loves you. He's for you. He cares about you. Anything you think the world and power or sex or pleasure or a boat or a better golf score or what plastic surgery could ever provide, Jesus says, it's all a lie. It's all temporary. I love you just for you. I have joy that circumstances can't change. I want to give you something in your heart that's called peace. Not pseudo peace. I want you to be able to sit in a room where you don't have to turn on the TV or the stereo or run over to the refrigerator every time you have a little bit of unrest in your soul. I want to give you joy that even when bad news happens, it wells up in you. I want to love you. I want to care for you. I want to tie you into me and let you understand where real life comes, abundant life to the full. Isn't that what he promised? I came that you might have life and you could have it to the max. This isn't like getting second-rate stuff. This is like seeing the junk for what it is. And then you negatively, you got to fight, but then you draw near to God. You return. And what's the promise say? He'll draw near to you. Isn't that awesome? This is the picture of the prodigal and the father. You know, he didn't run after the prodigal, did he? He allowed the consequences to get in the prodigal's life. By the time the kid is eating the pig slop, he finally has an aha moment. This ain't good. The slaves have it better. But the moment he returned, the word, right, and began to come back to the father, what did the father do? Study that passage carefully. He does a number of things that break culture. He runs to meet. That means he had to pick up his robe. That means he embarrassed himself in the city. He ran to meet his son. God wants to run to meet some of you. And some of you are so overwhelmed with guilt and so got so much baggage and so much junk and feel like you're so unworthy and you've been through so much. He's a God of grace. If you've fallen into a 15-foot hole, he will lower a 16-foot rope. And if you've fallen into a 300-foot hole and you can say, I had 2 abortions, I've had 4 marriages, I'm a perpetual liar, I'm stealing from the company right now, my whole life is a mess, I'm 300 feet of just dirt and I feel like a terrible person. God said, I brought you here because I have a 301-foot rope. Just grab it, babe. I love you. I love you. I died for you. I have a plan for you. I want to restore you. Well, how do you draw near to God? That's not just an emotional experience. How do you draw near to God? Well, since many of you are on that media fast because I double dared you, and some of you can't resist that, with all this time, you know what you'll find? Just start reading through the New Testament. Just start taking walks instead of watching TV and talk to God. And when you're hurt, tell him you're hurt. When you're angry, just express it and tell him you're angry. Then the things and the needs that you don't have, ask him for. And say, but whatever you want. Get in the scriptures, begin to pray. And then, you know what? Every New Testament command I can find is in the second person plural. There might be an exception or two. That means I'm never expected to live this radical New Testament revolutionary life alone. I got to do it with people. And you get in the scriptures and you begin to pray and you get with some people that are making progress with the Lord and you find some music and a Bible teaching church that teaches the word and lives authentic lives. And you know what? You're drawing near to God. He's going to draw near to you. And all the things you thought that we're going to deliver through your hedonism, that you're being brainwashed like I'm being brainwashed day after day after day, God says, I'm going to give you better and lasting, both now and forever. The final thing he says is get right with others. Notice the phrase here, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. You know what? That's the outward. You know, what are you doing with your hands that is wrong? Cleanse them. Then not just externally, but internally, purify your hearts. Where are your motives? Let there be tears for the wrong that you've done. And so there's a private purification where you cleanse your hands. And you know what it is? You don't hear this much anymore. Are you ready for this? Some of you, a number of things have come up in your mind. I've just sort of thrown a few little bombs out. Have you noticed? You know, the soaps over here, romance novels over here, pornography over here, materialism. Just in case you missed the bombs, this is a review. All right? All right? A little bitterness in your heart, unforgiveness toward an ex, toward a mom, a dad, one of your kids, right? You know what? Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts is? Stop sinning. Stop it. Okay, you ready? I'm going to do this again. It's very complicated. Stop sinning. I mean, we get this like, yeah, I will. You know, I'm going to have to process this. Maybe see my counselor. You know what? Is it wrong? Stop it. Repent. That's the word. Right. Get right with others. Arrow in a box, then write, repent. Now, do you need help? Yeah. Do you need to see a pastor or a friend? But if you have wronged someone, make it right. Cleanse your hands. If you have bitterness in your heart, if you have resentment, if you have anger fantasies, purify your heart. Purge it. Tell God you're sorry. If you need to apologize to someone, go apologize to them. But just say, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get right with others. Then notice the final thing he says in verse 10. He says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip's going to be back with a final thought about this message in just a minute. Why we fight with those we love is one of five messages in Chip's series, Relationships Under Pressure, keeping it together when the world's falling apart. If the pain of relationships that just aren't working is getting the better of you, you're going to find practical, biblical answers in this series. If you're ready to get on the solution side of relationship problems, Relationships Under Pressure has the wisdom you need. To take a closer look or to order this set of messages, just tap special offers on the app or visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Well, Chip, before we wrap up this program, Father's Day is one of the hardest times to buy a gift for Dad. We all struggle with that one. Got any ideas?
Absolutely, Dave. I do have a great idea. I think it's helping a dad be a dad. My confession, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I got very little help being a dad, being the father that my children need. And so I've written a little book called The Portrait of a Father, How to Be the Dad Your Child Needs. In fact, the essence of it is this. The father's role in the family is critical. But I think men get overwhelmed. We don't know exactly how to do it. In this little booklet, I'll give you the four roles that God expects for a man to be a leader, a lover, a teacher, and a priest, and then very specifically how to do that. You can read this in a little over an hour. It's really small, so it's one that you could get for three or four or five or six people, and I think the team has discounted it because we want to get this in the hands of as many people as possible for Father's Day. Not just so they get a good gift, but what we know is when a man begins to lead his family, when he finally gets the confidence to know who he is to be and what he's to do, it changes everything. Dave, why don't you tell them how they can get this little book?
Sure thing. To order your copy of Chip's new book, Portrait of a Father, How to Be the Dad Your Child Needs, go to livingontheedge.org or call 888-333-6003. And as Chip just said, we've discounted this resource so you can get as many as you need, whether it's a couple or for your whole church. We hope this book will encourage every dad to be the leader God has called them to be. Again, to get your hands on Chip's new book, Portrait of a Father, before Father's Day, go to livingontheedge.org or call 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003.
As we close today's program, there are four specific steps toward humility, and the promise is when you humble yourself, God will lift you up. He will help you. Let me review them quickly. Number one, give in to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. The key word is surrender. Second, get tough with Satan. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You may need some help on what that looks like and how to do it. Number three, get close to God. The promise, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Open the scriptures, read the Psalms, cry out to God. He longs to help you in your pain. And number four, get right with others. Repent. If you need to make something right, make it right. This is one of those messages you need to go to the web and get the notes, download them for free, and then you can walk through it. There's discussion questions and an outline that will help you put this into practice. Father, I pray for those in conflict who need to take the first step, that they'll go to the web today and they'll hear your voice and begin to put into practice what it looks like to humble themselves so that you can lift them up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, the notes Chip just mentioned are his message notes. They contain his scripture references, questions, and insight that'll help you get the most out of every program. Best of all, they're absolutely free. Radio and podcast listeners will find Chip's message notes online at livingontheedge.org. Just click the Broadcasts tab. And app listeners find these same notes in an interactive version by tapping Fill in Notes. Either way, they're a great way to follow along with Chip as you listen. Well, until next time, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this weekend edition of Living on the Edge.